Hi, welcome back to That's What She Said with your favorite hosts, Peyton
and Tiber. Grab a yummy snack, a warm cup of tea, and tune in for our weekly chats about our favorite eats, current recipe inspiration, and discussions of food science, nutrition, and sustainable eating.
We hope you enjoy.
Hello.
Hey, Peyton. We're back.
We're back in the studio. Literally. Hopefully the sound is working.
2 years later.
I have no idea.
Which is crazy.
I know. Welcome back to That's What She Said.
With Tiber.
And Peyton.
Yay.
I feel like we should give a little background.
Okay, I'll start. I'll do the background.
Okay, start from the beginning. Tell the people.
I met this random girl in my French class.
Oh my God.
And she kept laughing at my jokes, which is like the coolest thing ever. So I was like, okay, we have to be friends. And then she took me to get a donut. And then I'm going to tell her entire life story right now.
Oh my God.
We got that donut from Fisher & Donaldson. Mm-hmm. And you started telling me about how you made peanut butter and all of these different things. And I was obsessed with you like 5 minutes in. Because who makes their own peanut butter? Not me. And so, yeah, then we became friends. And we started going for ice cream all the time. And then we bonded over shakshuka. And then we just kind of realized that all we talked about was food. So we thought, why not make a food podcast? And that was literally 4 years ago. And we're still here. we still have things to say about food.
That's true. Believe it or not, we've been talking about food for 4 years and we still have things to say. No, it's true. I feel like that was our bonding. Our friendship is very much based on our mutual love of food / like just recipe.
Yeah.
Curiosity.
Definitely.
Innovation, creativity in the kitchen, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I feel like we have more diversity of conversation now, but definitely the first 2 years of our friendship, I remember literally only talking about food. I would sit in front of you, we'd talk about food, and then leave.
But you know what?
Like,
it's so true, but it kind of goes for like most friendships or relationships, like you first bond over common ground, you know? Like that's usually how you meet someone. It just happens to be that our most common ground is like our biggest passion is in life.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, actually, like, we are friends, aside from the fact that we just like talking about food with each other.
Actually, we enjoy each other's company. Maybe.
Oh, actually, I do like you. Yeah. Yeah, I remember when we sat outside and I was telling you how I made peanut butter and you were like, what? And I was like, wow, I'm so weird. She probably thinks I'm
we
so
We were sitting
weird.
on that bench, like across from Cottage Kitchen. Yeah. There's a bench or something.
Yeah.
And you vlogged it, actually. I don't know if you had a vlog. You vlogged me trying that
donut.
Don't
tell the people that. That's embarrassing.
But yeah, then we would just get ice cream, like, even when it was, like, pouring down with rain. And, like, the rain would be melting my ice cream for me, and mm-hmm. we'd still go to Janessa's, mm-hmm. which is closed right now.
I know. Can we talk about that?
So sad. I just hope they open up before I leave because it's my last semester.
That's true.
And
yeah, I think we need to emphasize that this is our last semester ever in St. Andrews.
Which is...
Okay, we're at the end of our fourth year. We've been doing this since, I think, second semester, first year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's actually 3 years, right?
Stop. We'll say four.
Whatever.
We'll say four.
We don't do maths. It's been 4 years. We're in our fourth out of 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's been a journey, and we haven't been in the studio for 2 years, literally 2 years.
Which is so bad, because...
Which is crazy.
The I fact don't know.
That, like, the first...
You remember
COVID
when
first
we
hit 2 years ago.
We would record on our computers. Like, you were in San Francisco. Yeah. I was in St. Andrews still. And we couldn't hear each other. We couldn't see each other. It was just
but
like...
But we just still wanted to talk to each other about food.
Yeah, but I'm glad we have real microphones back.
I know, this is so exciting.
When we listen back, and when you guys listen back on our podcast, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, you'll actually be able to hear what we're saying, hopefully, fingers crossed. I am wearing a mask right now, so
it's a little bit difficult wearing a mask.
Glad we're back.
It's a bit of a shame because we obviously have to bring snacks, and we always bring snacks when we're doing this, but that's a bit difficult to eat when we have to wear a mask in the studio. But, you know, these are things that we'll figure out. And speaking of Spotify and Apple Podcasts, we say this every time, but this time we're actually fully editing, put everything on there. So you can listen back, you know, in your free times. Not going to lie, I have heard directly from all the fans that they have been listening back on Spotify, which there are some old episodes on there in case, you know, you're desperate. You're desperate for a little pay and tips, and once a week isn't enough.
I mean,
you can catch us on Spotify, and that's, what's it called? Apple Podcasts. That's
Apple
what she
Podcasts.
Said.
And everything. Every podcast streaming platform we are on.
Every streaming platform.
Google Podcasts. You
Tune
like that
in.
Stuff? Okay. We're
Tune
there.
In.
we've We're there. I would say that our old podcast episodes are literally us laughing. So
that's true. We have definitely developed our technique and style over the past several years.
Yeah,
I would say.
I mean, we're 10 minutes in and I haven't laughed yet. That is world record.
It's because when we talk to each other, all we do is just giggle and talk about food or whatever. But to be fair, we have had some like real conversations.
Yeah, no, we have plenty of them.
Especially when we were on doing it on Discord and, we couldn't be together, which was sad.
Yeah, we've had some really, really good ones. I think that's like what our podcast this kind of season is about, like a little bit of a mix of our favorite recipes.
Fun stuff, and then, like recipe stuff, and then like more interesting conversations, current affairs, everything to do with food, nutrition, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So following on from that, do we want to discuss today's little topic?
Yes. Well, we obviously have some recipes that we want to just, shed light on.
Always.
Every Always. But we want to talk about a few different things. I mean, well, it's February now, in case you're listening to this in a different time. In case you're listening back on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, in case you didn't mention that, in case you didn't hear that. It's currently February 2022, and it's a bit of a weird time of year. It's like, things are kind of back, quote-unquote back, quote-unquote after COVID. Obviously, it's still very much present. But we're back in the studio. We're like back in classes, kind of. And it's a little bit weird, wouldn't you say? Just like getting back into the swing of things. And also at this time of year, like, I don't know. Like at this point in the winter, this point in the academic year, like I feel like I personally find myself in a bit of a lull sometimes, which obviously translates to cooking, eating, like recipe inspiration.
Yeah.
But
I think I'm definitely a little confused, mm-hmm. I will say, because we spent, a year and a half not going to class, not doing anything. And then all of a sudden, like, everything's back to normal and I'm trying to figure it out. We've got, like, in-person teaching. Mm-hmm. And then also, can I just say, in-person teaching does not fit in with my eating schedule.
Yeah. I forgot about that. I honestly forgot. It's so true. I'm like, I need some regular snack times.
Yes, I'll be looking at my class schedule, thinking, sorry, when do I eat? When can I snack? I have a 2-hour lecture. Do I get a break where I can eat a cookie or not?
I know.
It is hard.
But okay, I feel like that's kind of a segue onto our kind of eating, I guess, habits, cooking habits, like how they've changed over the past 3-4 years since. I mean, it's different being in halls, obviously, having different access to cooking facilities,
Can we just pause? And once I went to Peyton's dorm room or whatever in first year, and she used to hang oat milk out the window because she didn't have a fridge or something. I don't really know what
okay,
that was.
Okay, expose me like that. Yes, that's 100% true, because the kitchen on our floor was massively oversubscribed, I would say. There were a lot of people on that floor. The fridge was very small. People would leave milk in there for weeks. It was disgusting. And they just leave like pots piled up with like crusty pasta in them. So, it was less than ideal cooking conditions. But it's mostly because it was so this makes sound so lazy. But our room was on the complete opposite end of the corridor as the kitchen. And I had to, like, walk through the common room. And sometimes people would be, like, drinking in there. And I'd be in my pajamas just wanting to, like, make a cup of tea. And I'd be like, oh, I really don't want to walk through there or whatever. But also it was mostly because I was lazy. And it's obviously so cold outside. And we had a little ledge out the window. And so we'd tie, like, oat milk. I once did it with hummus, which obviously got devoured by seagulls within minutes. Actually, seconds. I do it with ice cream because it's so cold outside. Just keep the stuff outside the windowsill. Tie it with a string to the inside just to make sure it doesn't fly away, And yeah, that's how we kept stuff cold. It's called creativity, people. Innovation. Innovation that excites. If it's important to you, you find a way to make it work. And obviously, it was important to me that I had oat milk.
I mean, the two words in my head while you were saying that was literally, I'm not joking, creativity and innovation. Wow. And I was about to tell you
that. But on the same wavelength. That's usual.
Great minds think alike. You said it yourself.
Great minds think alike. But yeah, we've come a little bit of a way since then.
Definitely.
Since then. I think Well, I don't know. Well, how would you say your cooking and eating has changed?
So,
because you had a bit more of an access to a kitchen.
Okay, I definitely had access to a kitchen, but I was so far out of town. Yeah. I was in Fife Park, DRA, whatever, at the like a 30-minute walk from town, which meant I could not just go to the Tesco whenever I needed to go. I had to plan it and, you know, make sure that I had everything in my flat, which meant I think I would cook a lot because I had, like, access to a full kitchen, fridge. It did have my own cupboard space, my own fridge space, so I was good there. Only one shelf, though, which is really sad, like, looking back on it. How did I survive using one fridge shelf? I don't know.
You make it work. You make do.
Yeah, but I definitely was that person that I would just like have to like stick to specific recipes of food all the time because I could only get so much. And I was definitely a pasta person. I was really addicted to pasta. I didn't realize I've always been a pasta addict because one of my friends, or actually acquaintances, somebody who was in my class in high school once messaged me last year and said, "So you're still addicted to pasta?" Because I'd posted something on pasta, and I was mortified that that people know that I thought it was in my head, but whatever. I think I am definitely far more creative now. I think I have a lot more room and space and even brain space to cook more and play about with my food than before. And I feel like I've definitely developed like a knack for, like, I know what spices work now, which is like growing up, I think it's really funny. It's very much a South Asian thing, but it's like an everyone thing. Whoever cooks, really, it's like when you would ask your parents how much to put in a meal, and they'd say you would just feel it, like you just know.
Eyeball it. You just know.
You're like, I'd like be making food of mine. I'm like, "Mom, so how much cumin do I put in this?" You're like, you'll know. And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't.
I can proudly say I now know how much cumin to put in my food.
I don't need
a recipe or a teaspoon.
Okay, flex. Flex on all of us. No, I definitely know what you mean. I mean, like most things, it's just practice almost, you know, with cooking. I think we should also preface this by saying that we are very foodie people, obviously. But we care a lot about like what we eat, and we just really enjoy cooking. So I feel like for most people, especially in their first year, like that is not a primary concern, you know, like, and that's so fair. Like there are definitely days where I was like, I don't want to pay for food. I don't have access to this. I can't bother to cook. Like it's pot noodles, it's toast and peanut butter. Like, you know, everybody has those days, but I feel like we are slightly not average in terms of, you know, the kind of like attention and care that we give to what we eat, just kind of naturally, not really.
Yeah, I definitely feel like just more of an adult, if you will.
Since then,
now I cook for myself.
And it's also the time. Like, there are a lot of aspects to very thoughtfully cooking for yourself. Like, the meal planning out when to buy things, you're not wasting anything. You know, like, when you have time to go buy stuff, when you have time to cook it. You know, it's kind of like a whole process, which does take time and effort, but I feel like for both of us, it's something that we, like, obviously really enjoy.
Yeah, I think food wastage was, like, the number one thing I couldn't figure out, like, at university, because I'm buying for one, but nothing is prepared for one in a grocery store.
It's so hard to cook for one person.
Yeah, I'd be wanting to just throw some kale into my salad or whatever, and I'd have to buy an entire bag knowing that I wanted something different the next day. So I've definitely had to figure out how to get more creative with my food so that I can be using up the ingredients, and also how to store my food better, which I did, yes, watch a 2-hour YouTube video on how to store every type of fresh food ever. So I think I am an expert now.
What did you learn?
So many things about how to store feta. Feta was my number one issue. Every time I buy feta from Tesco here, it goes bad in a day. But all you have to do is dry it out and then put it in water. And leave it, and it'll last for ages. And all my herbs, I no longer leave in the packet in the fridge. I now fill a glass with water and just put the herbs in the water.
Okay, that's smart.
Things like carrots and things, like, you just store them in water in a jar.
Yes, that is true.
This I did not know before.
I'm always too lazy for that. Yeah. I don't know why. Well, I'm a bit of a lazy person, I will say, when it comes to like cooking and meal prepping and things like that. But I have heard that because they get so dehydrated when you leave them, especially if you cut them up and then just leave them. But I have heard you're meant to kind of keep them in a container with water, right? Is that what you do?
Yeah. Like it's actually, it's really confusing because I've been thinking about how people used to store food before fridges were invented. And I just kind of went into a spiral thinking, how am I supposed to actually store food? Who told me that I needed to put everything in a fridge?
Mm-hmm.
Now what do we do? Like,
that's so true. Cavemen didn't people, put things in the fridge.
People, how do people do it before us?
Yeah.
I'm sure they made really good meals and they did not have refrigerators. And definitely. So I'm like, there must be a way around this. I'm just not figuring out. And all my food is going bad in like 2 days. I just got to learn. I got to pick up some history books and some like food books.
Well, it is super. I think it's fun to be savvy with like how you store food. You know what I mean? Like to learn little tips like this of how to minimize your waste as well. Because it is so hard to cook for one person. And that's something, I don't know. I guess I'm more used to it now after this much time. I mean, not to say that I don't cook dinner with my friends all the time or whatever, but primarily you're buying food for yourself to eat. You know, it's hard to plan and buy in advance when you are really trying to minimize your waste. But how would you say, because I feel like the biggest thing that I struggle with is having a variety of the meals that I make and just food that I eat in general. And because I just kind of so easily get into the rhythm of cooking like the same 3 or 4 things or buying the same 10 ingredients every time I go into Tesco. But I feel like you're better at kind of coming up with new things. Like how would you say you kind of like maintain a bit of diversity in what you eat? I feel like you're good at that.
I mean, I definitely did what you just said you did in like kind of first and second year. And I remembered we'd come into the studio and I'd be trying, like racking my brain, trying to think of something new that I'd made because I'd be making the same thing.
Yeah, the same thing.
If I found something I enjoyed, I'd make it. We met to make curry, right? Chickpea, coconut curry, so good. I made that so many times afterwards because I enjoyed it and I just couldn't stop making it. But I think, honestly, sometimes it's really good to have a grocery list and I understand kind of like meal planning and things, but it doesn't work with me. If I want to be creative, so or just have fun with my food. So sometimes, like, I'll literally just walk into the grocery store and pick up whatever looks cool. Like, whatever. I'm just like, oh, this is interesting. I have no idea what to do with this vegetable, but I'm going to buy it. And then it's in my fridge. And honestly, I don't really follow recipes. I just start chopping things up. And then I start with an onion, and it goes from there. I just kind of throw things about. Most of the time, it's okay because I've figured out my flavoring, like my spicing, so I can spice things well. I just make sure I have a variety of spices in my cupboard. I keep adding to them to keep figuring them out. But I don't know, really. I think it's just takes time. Like it's something that you gotta like get the knack of making your meals first, and then you can kind of branch out. Or I think this semester I've been really, really good at it because before I came up to St. Andrews, my mum decided to give me everything in the fridge because she thought that I wouldn't like for some reason thinks that I'm incapable and she was worried that I wouldn't know what to cook. So she gave me everything and I live in Glasgow so I could drive up with it. And then I ended up with like an entire fridge full of vegetables that I had no idea what to do with. I didn't cook with and I needed to use them. So that's kind of where like I'm a lot better at it now because I had to do it. I had to figure it out and I just kind of play about with it. Honestly, I couldn't put a name to anything I make. There are no recipe names for these things, but they taste really good. It's just about having fun with it.
Yeah. I think it's also important to eat seasonally.
Yeah.
Or at least to kind of focus on what's in season. Not that we really have a choice because we just walk into Tesco and what's there is what's there. But I think in places, well, this is something else that I've kind of had to learn to work with is that we don't really, in St. Andrews, we don't really have access to everything we might want, even in terms of spices or whatever, fresh produce or, you know, sometimes you walk into Tesco at 6 p.m., usually most of the vegetables are just gone, you know? And so that's another thing is kind of being flexible and just being like, right, well, all we have is, you know, like red peppers and cabbage. So we're just going to have to make something with that, you know. I think it's different being. And sometimes I have an idea of something I'm really craving or a recipe I've really been wanting to try. And I go to the shop and I can't find anything. Like the other day. Yes, I was telling you about this. I couldn't find coconut milk. I wanted. What was I making? I forget. I needed a can of coconut milk. It was some like, it was kind of a pasta dish, but it was a little bit, it was a little bit weird. It was kind of a mix of all different kinds of things. But I wanted canned coconut milk to go for the sauce and couldn't find it anywhere. Didn't have time to trek out to Morrison's or whatever. So I just had to use from the cart and coconut milk, which is obviously very different, like much more diluted. And it was fine, but was not exactly the intended flavor. And just kind of got my goat a little bit. I was like, I just want a can of coconut milk. Like, if it's not in the shops, then it's not in the shops. Like, you kind of have to deal with, I guess, I don't know. Maybe that sounds a little bit spoiled to be like, oh my God, I can't find exactly what I want in the supermarket. But to be fair, the amount of times I walk into Tesco wanting something and it's completely empty and I'm like, right, well, never mind. I'm just going to have to make something else. Like, it is quite... That happens quite a lot. So I think it's also like learning how to just work with what you've got. And as we talk about all the time, our favorite game is just mixing things from the cupboard, things that you already have, or like whatever, some veg that's about to go off, and then just finding a way to incorporate it. I think that's something that takes a little bit of practice, a little bit of skill. If you, you know, are wanting to be creative with it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's definitely difficult, especially when you're a student. I think the kind of general idea is that if you're a student, then you should follow these XYZ recipes, you know, meal plan, do all these things. And then when you're in St. Andrews, there is no food in the grocery store. Yeah. You really have to make do with whatever. I mean, if I really want to make a recipe, I go in the morning, because when it hits like the evening, you go in and the shelves are empty. And so whatever I wanted, I have to figure out how else to make it. I mean, I think it's quite good. If you are somebody who enjoys cooking, then it's kind of like, it is a fun game. But I would say you have to enjoy cooking to be able to deal with it. otherwise, I think most people would just probably be like, okay, noodles it is. Which I've done many times. Sometimes I go into the grocery store, I can't find what I need, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to buy a packet of noodles and like some spring onion and deal with it. But I think I still even like to spice up my noodles. Like even, like I don't know.
That's why it all comes back to the spices.
It all comes back to the spices.
Few key things you always have to keep on hand, and then that's it. Okay, along these lines, what is your current recipe inspiration slash what do you want to share with the people that you've been loving recently?
I'll be honest, all I've really, and not to sound really boring, but all I've really been eating is salad.
That's not boring. Salad can mean so many different things.
Salad as in a good feta, tomato-y salad with chickpeas. I think I'm just really, really loving buying fresh parsley and mint and chopping it up, putting it in my salad with some sumac and some hummus, mixing it together, some olive oil. Oh God, the olive oil
obsession. Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to get into kick.
That's kind of what I've been making, but the thing that I've been loving is breakfast. I am not a sweet breakfast person. I never have been. I usually like a shikshika or something savory for breakfast until I started making granola. I mean, I enjoy store-bought granola and I've had it before, but not that much because it was really sugary. And then one day I decided to watch a YouTube video and make my own granola. And it's literally a morning routine now. I just wake up in the morning and I make granola. Literally just oats, cinnamon, honey. I chop up like a bunch of nuts, like mixed nuts, throw them in. Dried cranberries are really fun. And then just throw it in the oven. And it's done. And I have it with, I like plant-based yogurt. Like the ones, like the plain one with coconut from Alpro. Or the Greek-style yogurt. I kind of playing off the two. I really like that. I like pour on my granola, have some peaches. I like cut up a peach, some strawberries, banana, and then I just drizzle honey all over it. And I feel like I'm in like the Mediterranean in summer. It just feels so fresh. And so every morning I feel like ready to go because I've had my granola. And I think that's kind of all I think about. It'll be dinner time and I'm like, I kind of want another bowl of yogurt and granola.
That's so good. Also, it's so nice to have so many times I'm lying in bed just getting excited about what I'm going to eat for breakfast. And it's a really nice way to start the day to be like, oh, I'm waking up and I'm so excited to make blah, blah, blah for breakfast. That's good. You make it fresh every day though. Because usually when I make it, I'll make like a big batch and keep it in a jar. But it does taste a lot better when it's warm out of the oven.
I think it's more that I enjoy having like the structure in the morning. I feel it's enjoyable to wake up in the morning and not have to go straight into work mm-hmm. and to just be able to think, okay, I'm going to make some granola now. Mm-hmm. It makes me think that I'm not at university. I'm just, you know, living my best life, making granola in the morning.
Yeah, it's so nice.
And then I'll enjoy myself. And it does mean I also am, like, sitting in the evening thinking, I want breakfast.
I'm ready for my granola.
I'll leave my friend's house, like, sorry, I need to go to bed right now because I want it to be breakfast
time. I need to wake up and make granola. Yep. That's so nice. That's inspiring me. I'm quite picky with store-bought granola. I just find that sometimes it's way too sweet or way too artificial tasting for no reason, and then it's so easy to make that I'm like, why would I not just make it myself?
So easy.
So and it can be super expensive too. So,
but I would always say make sure you get the right oats.
Oh.
Because this one time I decided to make granola in a pan instead. Mm. And I ran out of oats, but I accidentally bought like porridge oats, like rolled oats or whatever.
Yeah. Where they're chopped up a little bit.
Yeah, and so like I made it and it was all fine until I put it in my bowl and poured some oat milk on it, and because the oats were hot, it melted and became porridge. And I personally, I like my mother's porridge. Like I like traditional porridge and mm-hmm. milk and sugar. Mm-hmm. But if it's not that, I'm not really kind of like an oatmeal person. Mm-hmm. It's just not my thing. It's why I didn't like sweet breakfast. I love granola a lot more because I just like it more.
Yeah.
So yeah, be careful with the oats if you don't like oatmeal, because it's definitely not my thing, which is unpopular opinion, because I feel like every YouTuber ever makes oatmeal in their morning, and I don't. But it's okay. It's fine.
No, that's good. You're inspiring me. I want to make granola.
I want to know what you've been making.
I've been trying to. My flatmate has a crock pot, like a slow cooker, which we don't have at home, so I haven't really used much in the past. But I've been wanting to be creative with it, because the whole point is that it's so easy. Or you make something in the morning and you just let it cook all day, basically, and then it's just ready in the evening, which is very nice. Talking about time management and cooking, that's a really nice little hack to be able to make something, you know, early in the morning. Just chop up a bunch of stuff, put it in the slow cooker, and then be done. But there are so many different things you can make. You can make like mac and cheese and potatoes, and, like, but I've really been making soups and chilies. I've been kind of into. I've been very much trying to just embrace winter, even though I'm so over it. But I'm like, you know what? It's not going away anytime soon. This wind ain't going away anytime soon. So might as well just, you know, embrace winter, have some cozy soups and recipes. So I've just been making a lot of butternut squash soup, and it's so easy, but it literally is so good. Like, I'm just not sick of it. Like, I'll literally just chop up a butternut. The worst part is chopping a butternut squash. I hate chopping up squash. but that takes 5 minutes. Throw it in the pot. Garlic, like whole garlic cloves, an onion, ginger, like a massive chunk of fresh ginger, some carrots usually, or like, you know, find some carrots from the back of the fridge. And then that's it. Just some broth, a bunch of fresh herbs, some spices, like some cumin, paprika and things. And then let that cook all day. And then I'll blend it with coconut milk.
Oh, nice.
So it makes it super creamy and buttery and just so good. So, and our flat somehow already came with one of those, like, emulsifier.
Like a hand blender?
Yes, a hand blender. Yeah. Which is super handy. So I literally just stick that in the pot in 3 seconds. It's all pureed. But you could also just put it into a blender and blend it up. And if you want like a smooth soup like that. Yeah, that's literally it. Sometimes I put some thyme and rosemary. And then I'll top it with some like chili oil, pumpkin seeds, salt, pepper, parsley. That's it. Get some fresh bread. I've been into bread recently. Tibbs came over yesterday and I was like, wait, you can't come until I go buy a loaf of bread so we can have nice toast.
And the toast was really good.
It was good. It was good. We basically ate a whole loaf of bread. But yeah, some fresh bread. Can't beat that. Dipped in some fresh soup. I've been super into that. And I also have made chili a few times with just mostly leftover cans of beans that I found in the back of the cupboard. And then usually just like vegetarian, like some, I mean, it's so easy to throw meat in too, but I feel like I will end up with rogue vegetables always that are about to go off, and I'm like, okay, what's a new way that I can use this? But yeah, I've been really into that. But you don't even necessarily need a slow cooker like that. Like, all it is just it's the same thing as a pot simmering on the stove all day on low heat, you know. So it's super easy to make. I mean, I especially do that when I don't have time to, like, cook dinner, really. If I know I have a busy evening, and I'll just take 20 minutes in the morning to, like, you know, cut everything, throw it all in. Also, it's, like you were saying, easier to shop for groceries in the morning because there's usually more available in the shops. So, yeah, I've been loving that.
Yeah,
I would emphasize the ginger. I'm such a ginger person, but I just put in, like, an entire stick of fresh ginger. So good.
I love ginger, too.
Yeah.
Like, even pickled ginger, you know, that you have with sushi.
Yes. Oh, I eat that from the jar. I literally eat it from the jar.
Yeah. I luckily have so many friends who don't like the pickled ginger. So I am that person that will take the pickled ginger packets off everybody.
Yeah.
Make sure they request them and then, like, hoard them and take them home with me. Your sip sounds really good. Honestly, I think I might have to come over and try some.
Oh, my gosh, definitely. Also, I will say another great thing is that I make a massive pot of it. Or not even, like, it's just one butternut squash and one onion, whatever. It's not like you need a bunch of ingredients. But it lasts for so long. So I'll just have it in the fridge for ages, eat it for lunch for, like, 4 or 5 days. Like, both my flatmate and I, it lasts for so long. You just make a big pot of it.
That's and then good.
It's just, I really like having things on hand that are, like, really actually yummy and mm-hmm. fresh and require a little effort in the middle of the day when I'm, like, you know, in and out, whatever.
Yeah, I think definitely effort is the most important thing when you're a student. And
we are lazy people. Students are lazy people, you know?
Yeah.
To be fair, we don't really have time to be cooking 5-star meals.
Yeah, but you're still finding a good way to make sure you're having good meals. I mean, oh, I've met many a people who just pour a jar of sauce in, which mm-hmm. I would like to say, if anybody is listening and they don't have time and they pour a jar of sauce in to the pan and heat it up,
no first, shame, it's, no hate.
It's okay, personally, it's not a vibe, but you can spice it up really easily. I will say, depending on the cuisine, please, everybody, fry an onion, throw some garlic in the pan. If it's Italian, put some herbs, you know, mm-hmm. like just make up your own little thing first and then pour the sauce in. I promise you it'll taste a million times better. I say that from being really lazy and wanting chicken tikka and having a jar of chicken tikka sauce. And I called my mom up and I was like, well, surely this isn't going to taste nice. Because I've heard that many people actually buy the jars of sauce and just eat it with chicken, which is not fun. Mm. So I called my mom and she said, no, it's so easy. Literally fry an onion, fry some chilies with it and a big tablespoon of, like, garlic ginger paste. Mm-hmm. Then pour in your sauce if you're really that lazy mm-hmm. to make your own. And it'll taste so much better. I tried it. It tasted so good. And I made it for a friend and she loved it. Yeah. So, guys, if you really have to have food from the jar, which honestly we all do.
Yeah.
This is no hate. I do it a lot. Please just take 5 minutes to chop up an onion and some garlic and some ginger. It honestly changes everything. That was just a little thing I wanted to tell my one listener. Just in case.
No, it's sorry. So true. That's another thing as well, is there's such a, honestly, a misconception that cooking, especially in uni, just if you want to take the time and effort to cook, it's going to take a bunch of money, it's going to take a bunch of time.
Yeah.
And I feel like the whole point of why we also wanted to do this, besides from that we just love talking to each other about food, but because we just want to you know, bring awareness to the fact that it is so easy and so simple. If you care about, you know, if you are wanting to put more effort and time, not even effort, just, you know, if you want to be eating well, it's not as hard as it often seems.
Yes. And definitely
you just need a few spare ingredients
and
a few spices on hand.
And watch the many
Tips does spend a lot of time watching some super niche YouTube videos. I would not say that's exactly necessary. That's why you just come listen to us and she'll tell you all the info she learned.
Okay, but also, I don't know if it's Bon Appetit or whoever it is, but there's somebody on YouTube who makes gourmet noodles out of instant ramen. So you should watch them if
you're
trying to figure it out, because it's so easy. Also, watch the girl who spends 24 hours only eating from her left, like cooking actual meals out of whatever's in her fridge, her leftovers. It's really cool because she doesn't have the usual leftovers where it's kind of like she just has a bunch of veg in the fridge. She genuinely has like leftovers and turns them into really cool meals. So basically, everybody should watch food videos on YouTube because it's all I do with my life. And that's why I love food so much. Mm-hmm. You want to love food better? You want to know how to be more fun with food? Not that I'm an expert, But I would just say go on YouTube and do that instead of studying.
Yeah, definitely. And that's like what we were talking about with kind of the more you practice almost and the more you kind of have an eye or a tongue for what goes well together. That's a super, I think, easy way to kind of be a little bit more creative. And also just talking to your friends. I get the most inspiration from I see my friend is straight. I'm like, so what have you been cooking recently? This is why I like going to Tesco with people. We do this to each other a lot. We're like, so what are you buying? Okay, I'm going to get that too. Oh, what are you going to make with that? Okay, let me try that too. I think that's also a good way to keep it fresh.
I think Peyton is my inspiration to cook.
Tibbs is my inspiration.
Definitely.
That's very flattering.
Yeah. Anyway, segue. Let's just.
Because we could go on for ages talking about this.
Yes. We have done that for just 40 minutes, so.
Okay, well, I guess we can move on to, like we were saying, this time of year, it's a little bit, I don't know, of a weird time of year, and I was thinking about how there's such pressure on January in so many different things, like New Year's resolutions, a new year, like, and who just decided, I mean, for a lot of people in a lot of places in the world, it's not even the beginning of a new year, you know? It's true. Well, she's laughing at me, but it's true. Like, I don't know. Or maybe that's just how I feel, but there's such like pressure in January and coming back to uni and like starting new habits. And I think that's so, I mean, that personally doesn't work very well for me. Like to suddenly be like, oh, let me just make a whole list of new habits and new things that I have to implement. And I know that's just not realistic. And
definitely,
going back to the fact that I'm a lazy person.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, along with that, I was thinking about the concept of dry January and kind of, I mean, usually that is in relation to alcohol and just kind of having a reset month in January, which I don't think there's nothing wrong with every once in a while kind of stepping back and be like, okay, let me reevaluate, you know, what are my habits? What am I eating and drinking these days? How am I sleeping? You know, like, especially as someone who cares a lot about wellness and self-care and that kind of thing. Like, I think that's definitely a good idea every once in a while to kind of step back and reevaluate your habits. But I think there's such a, I don't know, the dialogue around like detox, quote unquote, detoxing. And usually I was just using the example of dry January because usually that kind of comes around this time of year. But even like for summer, everyone's like, oh, I have to get a summer body. I have to detox or whatever. And I think there's such a lack of education, honestly, about the science of what that means. You know, like nobody teaches you in school if you just stop eating these kinds of food. Like I so specifically remember, okay, you have to have a balanced plate of like veg and protein and carbohydrates and whatever. But it's obviously so much more nuanced than that. And that's a little bit outdated even, especially with all different kinds of like diets and, you know, eating trends, which can be very overwhelming, I think. But just the concept of detoxing or removing certain things from your diet, I guess we can talk about, you know, food specifically. That is not necessarily, I mean, I don't know, this is a very individual situation. But just on the whole, like the concept of having something regularly and then suddenly removing it, I think is not, you know, necessarily a very good thing in terms of what it does to your body. The same way that you could have withdrawals to any other substance. And especially because a lot of foods are addictive. If you say, oh, I'm going to dry January, I'm going to not eat sugar, and you regularly have sugar in your diet, your body's going to freak out because all of a sudden, you know, you are just removing a massive part of your diet and also, you know, energy source and whatever.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a big part of the why diets don't work narrative. I think most people focus on the fact that diets don't work because once you kind of go back to your normal ways of eating, like I guess whatever happened will reverse. But I don't think people really consider that when you go on some crazy diet, especially in January when it's kind of new year, new you, but like taken to the extreme, when people go on new diets and, you know, all of a sudden, yeah, cut out sugar, you can't handle that. Your body and brain cannot handle that. You will experience withdrawals. And then, first of all, you probably won't be able to go through with it because it'll be too hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what puts people off healthy eating in general and wanting to just kind of eat better because they go about it the wrong way. And so they go about it one way where they're just kind of restricting themselves of like a really important food group. Their body can't handle it, obviously, because it's not used to it and has to come in moderation. And then they think, okay, well, this is just not for me, when really it's just kind of about making gradual changes and, you know, switching things out. I just think that diets are not the vibe. Diets are really outdated, honestly. I don't really know why diet culture... I mean, I think diet culture has existed for a long time, but I would have hoped that we would be moving away from it rather than people still promoting, like, flat tummy tea, that
kind
of
thing. I mean, it's a big marketing thing. Yeah. Like, think of all of these food companies promoting these kinds of things. It's very much... And that's why there's such a dialogue around it as well, as a, like, marketing myth, because it is such a subjective situation, you know? And I would say... It's easy to fall into the trap of when you see in media, you know, all these different kinds of diets and detox this and this diet, you know, like one for one person, they stop eating this and they felt better because of that. And then, you know, now they started this whole trend and everyone else is like, oh, I want to feel like that too. And there's such a, you know, that's a tiny, tiny, tiny piece of the pie.
Yeah.
And I think it's difficult to kind of keep your blinders on and, you know, actually find real scientific research. But saying that, I mean, not that either of us are scientists, unless you could count me as a psychologist, you know. But just the act of suddenly removing something from your diet is not a very effective way. Maybe it's maybe in the short term, but it's very difficult. If you're trying to wean off of something, you go very tiny bit by tiny, 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 tiny bit. Even like caffeine is a good example. People who have a coffee every single day and, you know, really it's an addictive substance. Like have, you know, if you wake up and have a coffee every morning for 5 years, whatever, or longer. Some people, that's just part of their daily routine. Fine, great. But if you are, you know, conscious of trying to change that, you can't suddenly just take that out of your diet, you know? Like, yeah. I think that's a good... example, oh, I see a trend that caffeine is bad for me. Instead, I'm going to, you know, wake up and have a smoothie. That's not the same thing. Your body will set it, you know. I think that it's important to be conscious of, you know, what is actually happening body when you eat or don't eat certain foods.
Yeah. And I think it goes the other way too, which I think this part is not as recognized where, I mean, everybody knows of diets where you cut out certain food groups are bad. Or they know that, but they still go ahead with it. But I don't think people realize that the other side of it, where there's kind of promotion of excessive consumption of a certain food group, for example, protein. And I think people think they're being healthy because they're getting a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And I definitely see people who are, I don't know, bulking or people who want to gain some muscle, go to the gym, going crazy with protein, like absolutely crazy with it. Protein, like putting protein in everything, which, I mean, yeah, everybody needs protein and it's not a bad food group, but that doesn't mean that you go crazy with it. And I think it works that way as well, where that kind of side of it isn't really shown as harmful, but it often means that then you actually do end up cutting out other food groups at the same time because you're focused on having one specific food group. And I think, please, can we just... promote moderation.
I was gonna say it all moderation comes back to everything in moderation.
Yeah, I don't think there's any need to cut anything out. Just have less of it, you know, but like have everything, but just make sure that you're getting, or not even have less of it, have what you want to have, but make sure you're getting your other important food groups in too.
Yeah,
as long as you got it all. And guys, just telling you all, soda does not make you lose weight. I say that from watching a documentary of people thinking that they were taught growing up in America, which obviously America, no offense, Peyton, they were taught that fizzy drinks help you lose weight. It doesn't. It's tasty though. But like, guys,
it's
no.
It's tasty because it's a can of sugar.
Yeah, but I just wanted to tell our one listener that that's not real. So anyway, moving on.
No, it's true. It's everything in moderation. And this is why I still have such a problem with the term like healthy, honestly, the word healthy, or like eating a healthy,
clean eating.
That means something so different for everyone. It depends on your lifestyle. It depends on your gender. It depends on your, you know, athletic ability. Like, it's so many different things. And then obviously all of these things are related. It's related to your sleep. It's related to your energy, that kind of thing. When you're eating well and when you're not eating well, you know, your body is giving you signs to tell you one way or the other, whether you realize it and are listening or not. But that's why I think I just have such issues with these diets and even, yeah, all sorts of products, protein powders, fit teas, whatever, that kind of thing. Like, this is quote unquote healthy. And even though now, like, we should acknowledge that very much, we're not the only people who are saying, oh, you know, fit tea maybe isn't that good for you. There's definitely a lot of conversation around that too. But I just think it's so individual when it's healthy. And also, not even individual to a person, it's individual to us. Every day is different. What your body needs every day is different.
And your body will tell you what it needs.
Exactly.
Like, if you're craving something, you probably need it, mm-hmm. and you shouldn't, you know, shy away from it. When I crave sugar, yes, I eat sugar. I love fruit so much. And I love honey. And you know what else? I love chocolate.
And actually, now no shame in that. I love cake. And I love ice cream. Yeah, no, I know. It's exactly no shame. And I think, I mean, yeah, we're definitely much proponents of the concept of eating in moderation. And I understand that for some people that's not necessarily possible. Yeah. There are different things that, you know, some people just simply can't digest different things. And I even know, like, there are some foods that just don't really sit as well with me. And I'm aware of it. But yeah, just this concept of dieting and detoxing, I think, is a very something to be wary about.
I think there's just too much pressure around what we eat. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, we've survived for this long. We got here, and I don't think anybody before 2000, before the 1900s, was freaking out about what certain food groups to cut out and what to eat, and they made it. I mean, I guess the mortality rate was, would I say, higher, but we're still alive, guys. We have modern medicine.
I just want to emphasize, like, what you eat. Food is medicine. Food is literally, I believe that so strongly. And the more you know about what your body needs, which, you know, takes time figuring out and takes.
Yeah. This is not an anti-vax podcast. No. But food is medicine. I promise you. A lot of the time it works.
Get vaccinated, but also pay attention to what you eat.
Yeah. Guys, we are pro-vax.
Says little miss booster.
I have my booster. I got it yesterday.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm
saying. And I am fine. And do you know why I'm fine? Because I have a good immune system. Because no, I'm joking. Well. I'm joking. I mean, I could have had it the other way.
But I think also another point is that even if you are aware of it and supposedly in control, you know, like us, I would say we're pretty in control of what we eat, as when we pay attention to it and we are mindful of the kind of foods that we eat. But even saying that, everything is processed now. Everything, it is so, unless you're really going to the farm and you're picking those carrots out of the ground, you know? I mean, I guess produce is a bit different, but everything on the shelves and stuff. If you want to consult my article about food and capitalism I wrote last year, you should. Her campus, Paid Instagram, why food capitalism is a global crisis. I think about it all the time. That's why I wrote an article about it, because I really do think there are so many issues with just food has become such a commodity, especially in America, or capitalist societies like that.
The USA.
Good old USA. Not to call people out, but yeah, that's an example that comes to mind.
It's okay. She might sound part British, but she is American. She can say this.
Yeah, I can say I can shit on my own country. No, but a lot of places. I mean, the UK as well. The UK is not exactly known for.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Eating baked beans, fresh, processed food. Yeah, but
which I will say, guys, baked beans are kind of nice.
I mean, yeah.
So
that's great.
I love when people from like other countries like talk about how they think British food is really bad, and then show a picture of baked beans, and I'm like, yeah, I know it looks bad. But it bangs. It's so good. Baked beans on toast on a Saturday
it's
morning.
It's a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah. Guys, try it. What are you doing? I mean, not all the time. You'll probably feel sick, but like, you should try it one day.
Yeah, exactly.
Billingish breakfast.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, there's so much. We've talked about this a lot. But
yeah,
it is difficult to be completely in control, and honestly impossible to be completely in control or to know every single ingredient that you're putting in your body, even like on a packet of, I don't know, something that would be like a rice cake or something that you'd assume is just rice. You know, like everything is processed, and
oat milk.
Not to say that is, you know, should be completely avoided, but
yeah,
it's just something to be aware of in terms of eating whole, natural foods. You know,
have you ever read the back of a plant-based milk carton?
Oh my god, yeah,
it's
all
long.
Kind of stuff in
it's
all,
long.
There's oils and like emulsifiers, yeah, all that kind of stuff. I mean, sometimes this is why I'm a bit skeptical of like vegan meat and things mm-hmm. like that, like processed, like fake sausages and things like that. I mean, yeah, not to be, you know, call yeah. that out, but because if you look on the back of the ingredients, there is so much in there, mm-hmm. so much words that you literally are like 50 letters long that you don't even know. And I'm like, you know what? I'd honestly rather just have a fresh burger or something,
yeah,
you know? I mean, obviously there are different approaches, but
yeah,
but just being mindful of also sometimes you think something is healthy and it's, you know, it's more processed than you think. But
yeah,
yeah, everything in moderation. I've just been thinking about this at this time of the year, especially with, yeah, new year, kind of new eating habits.
And try innocent hazelnut milk if you think the ingredient list is too long, because it literally has spring water, rice, and hazelnuts.
Oh yeah,
that's it.
I haven't
and it
had
tastes
hazelnut
so
milk.
Good. Blend it with a banana, and if you're feeling, you know, like having a bit of fun, a little drop of vanilla extract. Mm-hmm. So good, and tasty, and so easy.
Delicious.
And it's three ingredients, which is crazy because I don't know how they did that.
That's how it should be. That's how it should be.
Yeah. Just anyway, before
almonds.
I,
there's also a whole controversy around plant-based milks too. We can discuss
there
this another
is
time.
Next time
next
we
time
will
we can discuss this.
This
if the people want to know more of our thoughts on that, we can
they
discuss
do
it.
Our one listener does want to know this.
I know my mom's listening, so we do have one listener.
Hi.
Hey mom. Well, thank you for tuning in, everyone. That sped by. We obviously could sit here talking for hours, but
we could
we're excited for our grand finale season. We have a lot of things we want to talk about, some guests to bring on. And yeah,
it's going to be great.
More recipes,
this is
more
the
food.
Last first episode of That's What She Said.
Oh my gosh, it is.
In star. I will say, I mean, who knows? We
true,
could be going
true,
for
true,
a while,
true.
But
we're taking this worldwide, baby.
Yeah.
This is just our starting point, but you know, we'll always remember our roots.
We will. Janetta's ice cream.
Well, thank you for tuning in, everyone. We will see you next week, Thursdays, 4 to 5 p.m. And keep an eye out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
If you want to have a listen.
We'll be,
or if you
want to
do some
fun things. If you
get a bit bored, you know, there's
and you
a button
skip
we can
through
skip.
Us talking for an hour, then you can listen to it recorded on that. But yeah, we will let you know. Also, follow our Instagram account. That's What Cheese Said.
With three E's in the cheese.
Three E's.
You should. We will post more on there.
Yes.
Our
yes.
favorite foods. Because I know you all want
to
know.
You are
what
all
our favorite
dying
foods are.
To know. Yeah. No. It's fun. It's fun. We're excited.
Yes.
Right.
It's going to be
Thank
fun.
Thank you
right.
for listening. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.